Remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS will be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly bit?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems on a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
How old are you?
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Those eyes are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
The first question. The question that must never be answered. The oldest question in the universe. In plain sight.
Yes, but what is the question?
It's the same story every time, and it always begins with the same two words.
What two words?
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Doctor
Who? Oh, Doctor
Who?
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 Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
If we knew his name, we might have a clue to all this.
Yes, here we are. The next episode of Doctor Who just aired the night before. We are here at geeksofdoom.com. This is the TARDIS Blend. My name is Greg Davies.
I am Tom Sheridar.
And this week's episode, a bit of a homage, a bit of a tribute to some of the classic ghost stories and haunted house movies from a little bit of Scooby-Doo as well from the 1970s.
You know, I think I enjoyed this better than all the other ones that I've watched thus far.
I agree with you totally, and that includes the first half of this season as well. And includes my fetish for the Ice Warrior episode last week, too.
Yeah.
What's your rating on this? Let's get you to do
it. Kick it off with a rating, huh?
Yeah, let's kick it off.
I feel like the other episodes, because I'm not going to do half stars because I feel like that's cheating. I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that this was a mediocre episode.
It was a good mediocre episode, but it just kind of pales into comparison. It's like, this is the caliber that all Doctor Who episodes should be on with. And I, you know, honestly, like if I had to go back, I'm being really, like, the fours, I'm gonna make them work for it, you know.
Oh.
And the fives, well, they're, you know, it's got to be nothing short of absolutely stellar, amazing, the greatest episode ever.
Well, I thought this was stellar and one of the greatest episodes ever, so I'm giving it a 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm straight out. I mean, I was sucked into this from the very beginning. I know some of the fans out there online, particularly those at the Gallifrey subreddit and the Gallifrey base forums, were a little ticked about that extra little conclusion at the end. Just a reminder for our listeners too, we do talk spoilers. So, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, pause and go and watch Hyde and then come back and listen to us rant. But the extra conclusion at the end where the Doctor takes the creatures and reunites them. Some people thought that was really unnecessary, but I really disagree with that sentiment because I can't think of anything more Doctor Who than realizing that fear and prejudice is the pathway to conflict, and that in all the Doctor Who episodes, he has a love for alien life forms that look completely different from us.
You know, I personally think that if they're all, are they mad about just the ending?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where, like,
or are they mad that the creature was in there at all?
No. It's one of those things where some people think that it was one ending too many. Like, before the Doctor comes to that realization,
well,
like it could have concluded at that point.
Greg, they did blatantly use the same footage when the TARDIS was flying in to get the Doctor a second time.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you if you were the BBC? I would.
No, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that, like, you know, I can sympathize with where they're coming from because it looked really cheap. But I feel like, you know, if they hadn't gone and got the alien, it just really wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I like that conclusion immensely. I mean, I was sucked into this from the very beginning. I'm a big fan of horror movies anyway, and so I have a bit of a fetish for the classic cheesy horror movies. You know, like your Poltergeists and your The Hauntings and all that stuff. I'm right into all that stuff, and I just absolutely adored this love letter to that genre with this episode. I have to say that probably the best scene for me anyway, my favorite scene out of the whole shebang was the interaction that the Doctor had with Clara after they were traveling from the beginning of Earth to the end of Earth, and he was taking all those photos, and got to the end there, and she says to him, "We're just ghosts to you." And he says, "You're the only mystery worth solving."
Yeah.
There's like a nice little multi-layered writing there from Neil Cross, who actually he was also the writer for The Rings of Akkatan as well.
Yeah. You know, I liked it. I thought it was a decent effort to try and, because, you know, there's only so many ways you can say, you know, you humans are not insignificant to me. But you know, I got to go back to what's his name? Old man, Donna Noble's.
Wilf.
Yeah, when he says, "Gosh, we must look like ants to you."
Yeah,
David Tennant just nails it, and he's just like, "No, you're giants."
Yeah, yeah, but
I love that. But there's only so many ways you can do that. But I thought that, you know, it was pretty good.
But that's the important thing about whoever plays the Doctor. They've got to be able to provide that, because the Doctor Who's got a huge history behind it, and one of the biggest aspects of it is, of course, of like this disbelief of, like, of all the planets in the universe, why is he always coming back to Earth?
Yeah.
And, you know, this fascination with humanity is a big part of the storyline, and it does need to be addressed from time to time. But when it is addressed, it's so important that the actor who's playing the Doctor pulls that off, not only convincingly, but powerfully.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch it again for that scene. But
it's a great scene. You know, Matt's brilliant in all of these episodes, even the ones with Amy and Rory. I honestly don't think he has hit a false note as an actor in any of the, like, despite the material he was given in the earlier part of the season. I really think he is firing on all cylinders. He's done a really good job, I think.
He's doing a fine job. I personally think that he's kind of he hit his stride, I think, last season.
Mm-hmm.
And this season he's coasting, but that's not his fault.
Well, I think the whole coasting thing, maybe because it's in the lead up to the big 50th anniversary, you know.
I do appreciate the fact that the episodes have progressively gotten better.
Yeah.
And you know, then we're doing Journey to the Center of the TARDIS next week.
Yeah.
Week after that is Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. And both episodes. I think there's one more after that. It's called The Crimson Horror, I think.
Okay. But, yeah. You know, anyways, another thing I liked, we're going back into Mix themes. I liked that they showed some humanity for Clara. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, when the doctor was going through taking pictures of everything, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, oh, that was brilliant.
I just was like, why have they never done anything like this? Like, I need to go and take pictures in the exact same spot, and, like, throughout yeah. history, and just, like, it was amazing. But Clara had, you know, she had, like, a little freak out moment, which brought me back to, you know, Days of Rose and, you know, the Donna. Eccleston days.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
See the end of the earth.
Actually, you bring up Eccleston, and I'm going to skip ahead in my notes here because, but we'll come back to the news about the other stuff. Just on the 50th anniversary, Eccleston has been confirmed he is not in the 50th anniversary whatsoever.
I thought we knew that.
It was kind of up in the air, but apparently there's an article.
He said several times that he was.
Yeah, there's an article that came out just this week talking about some other related stuff where it was verified that he had pulled out at the 11th hour, quite literally, and issued a press statement. So it's an official deal now. It's not happening with Eccleston at all. Beforehand, we knew that was going to be the case, but now it's definite. He's not going to be in there. But he will be making sort of an appearance in the next week's episode.
Will he?
Yes.
See, now, I heard that he was going, that they were still going to put the Eighth Doctor in.
You're thinking of Paul McGann. But,
I mean, not the Eighth Doctor, the Ninth Doctor in. But,
no, next week's episode, there's going to be an audio clip from the Eccleston days that
see,
pops up.
I heard that they're going to put him in the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be old footage.
There's some other stuff that we need to talk about regarding that later on in the show. But let's focus on Hyde for the moment. A couple of things that I really love. There's this wonderful little meta, depending on your pronunciation, reference to classic Doctor Who, where the Doctor refers to Jessica Raine's character as the Professor's companion. And they correct him and say, no, assistant. Which is a throwback to the old Doctor Who days, because there was a period of time where they moved from being called assistants to companions.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little bit of an in-joke in there. There's a whole bunch of classic Doctor Who references in there. The blue crystal of Metabilis 3 was in there. That was the blue crystal on the empath's...
Ford. It was a very 70s looking headband.
Yeah, totally. And that's an interesting inclusion, actually, because for a couple of reasons. They've changed the pronunciation of Metabilis to Metabilis, or however Matt pronounces it in the episode. And what's really funny is watching all these fans on the forums going, well, it must mean something, you know, but it doesn't. It's just a different pronunciation. But the interesting thing about it is that the Metabilis 3 crystal was first brought in during the John Pertwee days, and he recovers it, I think, in the beginning of The Green Death, which is a fabulous serial. You need to see that if you haven't. And then it comes into play in his final episode, Planet of the Spiders. But the interesting thing is the crystal in that episode plays a key center point in him vanquishing the enemies. And it's implied that he loses the crystal at the end of that episode. So, did he recover it? Or... You know, it's another one of those Moffat moments where it's like, you know, he's throwing something in there that's like,
maybe he'll use it later.
Well, that could be a clue as well. I'm going to come back to that. The other thing that was brought up was the Eye of Harmony. It was last seen, last explicitly mentioned in the Doctor Who TV movie in 1996 with Paul McGann as the Doctor. And there was another, more of a modern reference. Jessica Raine, who played the Professor's assistant in this episode, is also going to be in another sort of Doctor Who episode. She's going to be in the docudrama, An Adventure in Space and Time, which chronicles the beginning of Doctor Who, and she's going to be playing Verity Lambert. And Verity Lambert was the one of the key figures. She was like the original showrunner of Doctor Who. And so
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good to see that. I think
that makes the lines hit a little bit better too. You know, after we watch that docudrama, I bet that that episode will feel a little bit more well rounded.
Yeah, and that
I
whole
dare
that,
say, like I've been looking for you.
And I think after series 8, I think actually Mark Gatiss is going to be brought on as showrunner. Because he's going to be he's the showrunner for An Adventure in Space and Time, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I'm looking forward to that little series.
If that's the case, then you know I don't really see a whole lot changing.
Well,
you know they're partners,
kind of, sort of, in a way.
They're writing partners more than anything.
They're very good collaborators. They're very good collaborators. I'm not sure. Gatiss would have a particular flavor he would bring to Doctor Who, but I mean that's just speculation for way in the future.
Yeah. So other things that I liked about this episode that I thought were good: pocket universe, not an alternate universe. Thought that was really cool. I like the way that they played that.
This is not the first time that's been brought up. The last time we saw that was in the Neil Gaiman episode.
Pocket Universe.
Yeah. And it's actually been used in classic Doctor Who, too. So, I dug that. I dug that. And that kind of... also, there was a bit of a... one of those... clue. There's articles in the UK, like from Digital Spy. Every week they post up a list of clues for the upcoming episode, because I guess, you know, I mean, the BBC must love them so much they let them watch it the week before. Thanks, BBC. Yeah. What about the TARDIS blend, huh?
Yeah, sure.
But
we would know what the hell to do with that.
Yeah, but they...
Guys, it's so awesome, but we recorded the episode afterwards and we're just waiting a week to tell
you. Yeah, they had... one of their clues was that there was going to be some reference made to... the girl who waited, and that was the one where Amy was in that universe where time was sped up, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would kind of fit in with the whole time distortion thing that was going on here. So, yeah, it was kind of cool. I dug it. You know, I got a real Tom Baker feel from this episode too. I don't know if you did, but you know, big mansion, really like, you know, your brown wooden walls. Investigating something in some manner or something like that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Tom Baker era.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very Philip Hinchcliffe.
I don't think that I've seen very much Doctor Who go with the Tom Baker, because Tom Baker has a very unique delivery.
Mm-hmm.
He gets you with the wit.
Yeah.
That I just don't think many people can pull off. I do see what you're saying. In regards to...
Yeah, just, it's mainly the era I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Clara. We got some interesting clues about her mystery this week. This actual episode reminded me a little bit of the Rebel Flesh from Series 6, like in the sense that the Doctor went out of his way to go to see the Flesh, and this week he went out of his way to visit the Empath, played by Jessica Rain. To find out more about Clara, and it's revealed in here that she's just a normal girl. So what does that make you think, Tom?
I think that it's not worth speculating, because we're going to find out more next episode.
I think we will, but she can fly the TARDIS somehow.
Well, she cannot fly the TARDIS, Greg. The TARDIS can fly itself.
Well,
and she basically said, hear the words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, 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 blah, 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 blah.
That was awesome. But she cannot fly the TARDIS.
Reddit.
She cannot fly. Say it to me, Greg.
I'm not going to say it to you, because it was quite ambiguous the way they did that.
She was all over the place. She was like a pinball in a pinball machine.
I don't know.
She did not fly anything. She got
it. Might be. It might, I'm not.
Fought with her.
I'm not willing to admit anything yet, because it may be a clue, or you know, one of those foreshadowing elements that Moffat likes to throw in there as well. Some nice symbolism that Reddit.com pointed out over at their Doctor Who subreddit. Blue and red, you noticed in this episode that the balloons the Doctor used to explain the pocket universe theory, one was blue, one was red. And you'll notice that in nearly every episode
I really love that they stopped to make that explanation.
Yeah.
Because those are the kinds of things that I wanted to know about whenever we were watching the giant, you know, planetary body that was alive that went away.
Oh,
and
Uncle?
Stayed the
yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something like that. It was very short, and it was very sweet, but it let me move on.
It stuck with the science in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing that these people in the Reddit subreddit picked up on was that in many of the episodes that Clara's been in, she is either wearing a red costume or has something red attached to her costume. This week we had the red umbrella. And then previous week there was like a red purse, and she also had the red leaf that was in the Rings of Akatan. And so there's red coming up all the time. And of course the Doctor, well, he's all blue, isn't he? The TARDIS is blue, the man in the blue box. So the blue and the red, there's some symbology coming up there. Now, here's another thing that keeps getting pointed out as well. The Ice Warriors are from Mars, the red planet. The Sonic got a red setting last week. Red, all this red stuff. And somebody pointed out...
What does it all mean?
Well, somebody pointed out something really interesting. It could be a Little Red Riding Hood analogy versus Bad Wolf.
Oh, that'd be a huge mindfuck.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good, I think.
Oh, man, would that be a huge mindfuck?
Well, do you want me to...
Would it not...
Do you
would
want
it
me
just
to,
not be like, oh, my God?
Do you want me to give you an even bigger mindfuck?
Well, they haven't done it yet.
Well,
so
don't forget...
Technically
hang on.
Having...
Don't forget the classic poem, Roses Are Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could just be Moffat totally screwing with us. I mean...
I think it is, because I think a lot of the symbolism that we had pointed out before... in episodes, he just does to screw with people.
Yeah,
because he knows they're paying attention. It's such a small thing.
Yeah, but I think it also accents the story as well. I think this whole blue versus red thing going on in this half of the season is this year's version of the mirrors from season 6. Do you remember how everyone was bringing up mirrors in the sixth season?
It had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, well, it didn't have anything significant that led up to the conclusion of the series, but it's a nice accent that runs steadily throughout the season. Kind of like Bad Wolf and Torchwood, but it doesn't have... it's not a clue in the sense that this is the answer for the final... for the finale.
Yeah.
It's just a nice accent to the story. Very, very nicely done. A couple of things that also got brought up that I wanted to talk with you about. The first one was the line that Jessica Raine says to Clara and says about the Doctor, don't trust him. There's a sliver of ice in his heart.
That was very odd.
Yeah, and then she, with her telling the Doctor that she's just a normal girl, I'm not so sure about the villain theory now.
She's lying.
No, I don't think she's lying at all. I'm beginning to think that this Clara is actually the original Clara, and it's something that the Doctor does that causes her to be split across time. So him going to try and investigate what the hell this Clara thing is all about is what causes her to be split across time.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I don't know, but obviously.
And why she says that.
Yeah.
The Doctor knows.
Yeah, we're idiots as well, because we missed out something else as well. Big key point that happened in a previous episode, we totally overlooked it. And that was in The Rings of Akatan, when she's talking to the little girl, Mary. She talks about how she fears getting lost or being lost. And it's a really huge point that she tries to make in that.
Time.
Yeah, that's where it's going, dude. And that's the first thing I thought of when I was stumbling across, well, maybe the Doctor is... lost in time. Okay, I get it. I think that's where Moffat's going.
Interesting.
So we'll see how that goes. Other news for this season? The final season finale now has a name. You've probably heard of this, Tom. The final episode of this season is called The Name of the Doctor.
Which almost entirely will not be about the name of the Doctor.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I feel like par for the course, they like to screw with us.
Possibly, yeah, it could, yeah.
Like, the Doctor's Wife, we were like, oh, it's a River Song episode, isn't it? Well, then we looked at the call sheet, and she wasn't even in the episode.
Well, the other thing is that that's really been ramping up in the rumors this week is that there's a lot of hints coming from the cast and crew currently filming the 50th anniversary, and they're hinting that the season finale, then the 50th anniversary, and then the Christmas special are going to form something or somewhat of a trilogy. And so I'm wondering if that's the case, whether they're all going to be like 90 minutes each. It'd be interesting if that pans out to be the case. While we're on the 50th anniversary, you got any news about the 50th anniversary, Tom?
I've heard more rumblings that there is a second half of the show that, like, a good, like, that could be about a good third that mm-hmm. they have yet to film yet. That they will not film for a while, which could lead to more guest stars.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too. But the other thing that I've been hearing is
I heard nothing about guest stars, I should say, so I don't want to get anybody's hopes up.
Well, I've got something about John Hurt.
Okay.
This is really interesting, and this is all total speculation on the part of the fans. This is just what I'm reporting to you, what I'm reading is all I'm doing here. I'm not saying that I believe this and by any stretch of the imagination, but there was an interesting on-set photo that made the rounds on many Doctor Who sites, and it's a picture of John Hurt in costume. Now, it's obviously it must have been cold outside because he's got an extra jacket on and a hat to keep warm while he wasn't filming. But if you look beyond that, he's got a very interesting costume on. His interior costume is under a jacket, but the interior costume looks similar to that of the Paul McGann Doctor. His jacket, on the other hand, is damn near identical to Christopher Eccleston's.
Ah.
And so, possible spoilers here for people. The speculation is, at the moment, that John Hurt is playing a previously unheard of, unknown of Doctor from the period of the Time War, and that the fall of the 11th is not actually going to be Matt Smith. He is going to be he's going to turn out to actually be the 12th Doctor, and this
Man,
John Hurt Doctor,
that would incite rage.
Yeah, it would. I know, absolutely. It would. But that, I mean, that's the
they've never ever mentioned the number of Doctors though, ever.
Yes, they have.
Have they really?
Yeah, they have. In the first episode where Craig was in, what was that called? The Lodger. When he headbutts Craig, he's like, he points at himself. I'm like, I'm number 11. Or the 11th. I'm the 11th. There's all these 11 references. Huh?
It was in jest, though. Like, it wasn't necessarily referring to him or anything else. It was
no,
like,
no, I thought it was. I would say it's a fairly explicit reference. So I don't know exactly.
Unless he goes on an explanation, like, there has been 12 incarnations of me. Mm. You know, or 11 incarnations of me. I am the 11th.
I have no clue where they're going with this. My gut feeling is telling me that that is not the case. That there's
I feel
not
like they wouldn't do that. Yeah. They wouldn't mess with that.
But I do think that John Hurt is playing a Time Lord. Judging by the costume he's wearing, they could be doing some timey-wimey thing where perhaps he re-enters the Time War period in which he meets the Paul McGann Doctor, and Paul McGann takes his jacket, I guess, and then regenerates, and we get a shot of Christopher Eccleston at the end, and bam, it's done. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking he's another Time Lord, though. That's my guesswork at the moment.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't think that they're going to mess with the number of Doctors or throw in a random Doctor incarnation because they have a rich history. They got plenty of surviving alive Doctors
mm-hmm.
that want to come in and do some
yeah.
work
yeah.
if they would only get the call. But
and most
you know,
most people really want to see
Paul
McGann.
It's like a slap in the face to the entire... You know, the entire production of a Doctor.
Well, I mean, but no. Even like even them saying that, like, you know, John Barrowman confirming he's not being involved, I thought that was a bit of a slap in the face.
Yeah,
I mean, he was such a well-loved character from the Russell T. Davies days.
He's also a mainstay on Arrow now.
Yeah, so, but I mean, they can work that out.
Well, no, I can't say that. Never mind. Go ahead.
So, but anyway, that's some interesting rumors floating around about the 50th anniversary. I have no idea where they're going with this, but it sounds like a lot of fun to me. One other thing I wanted to point out, and I've got a link to this in the show notes about this particular episode, is Neil Cross. This episode is a massive tip of the hat to an old television miniseries from the BBC back in the day, from the 70s, 72 I think it was, called The Stone Tape. And the story is almost identical, even down to the little bit where he was talking about the spam cans, or the tins of spam locked up in that brick there. Yeah, I mean, there's some of the people over at Gallifrey Base pointed that out, so I've made a note about that because I noticed that the Stone Tape is available for viewing on Amazon Prime. And so I'm really interested in having a look at that and seeing what kind of comparisons there are there. But it's most definitely a homage to that genre and that feel of film. So someone said that there were some Scooby-Doo references in this. Did you catch anything?
No, I didn't.
The holding hand thing might have been the one.
I thought that was good. I like that.
Yeah, that was a pretty good scene.
You know, I got to mention this too, because we are winding. We're a little over.
Yeah, we'll go on to the next time trailer in a bit. What were you gonna say?
Because Game of Thrones is on tonight, I got to say that if you're missing him, Owen Harper is alive and well as a menacing Knight of the Watchmen.
Oh, is he really in that?
He is. He just kind of popped up out of nowhere tonight.
Oh, great.
And I was like, that's Owen! And I won't say anymore. But, yeah. Like, go ahead.
Well, next time trailer, one of the episodes that I've been looking forward to the most this season, and that is the absurdly titled Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, in which we're going to see some ridiculous stuff.
We saw all the previous incarnations of Clara, or two of them.
Well, I mean, that could be anything. I mean,
well,
I don't know if it'll connect.
But one of them's dressed in like an old dress, and
you're really not digging this Clara thing, are you?
No, I am. I'm just like, I just feel like it's fairly like ho hum.
It does. It does smell a bit of Riversong, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Well, maybe Moffat's going somewhere.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Because I get to see more of the TARDIS. I think that's always awesome.
Yeah.
We get to see the guts of the TARDIS.
This is interesting because back in the day, Tom, there was a serial, and the name of it is escaping me at the moment, but there was a serial in the Tom Baker days where it was announced you were going to go into the depths of the TARDIS and journey into all the other rooms of the TARDIS. And Moffat recently said that he was so excited about this when he was a boy. And it turned out that, like, when they went through one particular door in the TARDIS, it just so happened to lead into this warehouse that the BBC owned that just so happened to have a swimming pool and other things. It was like a brick building. And it was really disappointing. It was really naff. This time, it looks like they've used a hell of a lot of CGI, a hell of a lot of set building to really create a huge dimensional mindfuck environment, and I'm really looking forward to this episode next week. I don't have the writer's name in front of me, unfortunately, but we'll come to that next week.
I'm super psyched.
Yeah, so our total rating this week, 5 from me, 3 from Tom, that's a total of 8 out of 10. I think that is probably the best rating we've given this season, aside from Asylum of the Daleks.
If I knew you were going to, I'm glad you made me go first, because if I'd known you were going to give it a 5, I'd have been giving it a 2.
Well, there we go.
Might have to do that next week, too.
Well, we'll have to see how it pans out next week, because I got a feeling that you're really going to enjoy this one yeah. coming up. This is the kind of thing that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Stephen Moffat got together with Neil Gaiman and threw some ideas at the writer for this one, because it seems yeah. like something that those two would go for, you know? So it wouldn't surprise
me. I'm really psyched about the next two episodes.
Yeah, me too. Those next two episodes look really good. The Crimson Horror, or whatever it's called, looks a bit filler, but that leads up to the season finale. And there's our closing music. This is the TARDIS Blend. I'm Greg Davies.
I'm Tom Cheridor.
And we'll catch you next week. Allons-y.